Hey friends, welcome back home to BUMC Online, the online campus right here at Broadway. I'm Lewis, I'm the campus pastor here at Online, and I want you to know that you're welcome here, no exceptions. If this is your first time here with us, we would love for you to let us know that you were here. Now, you could do that by jumping on over to broadwayunited.org/share, or if you're with us at BUMCOnline.org this morning, you can click on the communication card button that's at the top right of the page. Now today we're going to spend some time celebrating some of the things that have happened to our church family over the last 6 months. Now make sure you've got your candle ready, your communion elements ready. You're going to need both of those in just a little bit. This month, our dollar difference is going to support our friends at Room in the Inn. Room in the Inn works to provide a warm place to sleep and get a meal during the cold winter months of the year for some of our homeless friends here in Bowling Green. You can give by clicking on the Give button at the top of the page at BUMCOnline.org, or you can go to BroadwayUnited.org/give. Now when you get there, you click on the drop-down menu and choose Dollar Difference to make part of your gift go to Room in the Inn. Thank you so much for the generosity of giving in this season. Now the best way to stay up to date on everything that's going on in the life of our church family, including everything you need to know about next Sunday when we reopen in-person services, is to download the app. Now you can do this by texting BUMC app to 77977. Now, grab your candle, your favorite morning beverage, let's head down to the Mac and Pastor Adam.
Today is a day of celebration. In fact, it's the day the church sets aside each year to recognize our communion with Jesus' people around the globe. World Communion Sunday reminds us that we are one in Christ and that God's work is not just limited to our small circle or even our church or our awareness of what God is doing. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his one and only Son. And so we gather with those around the world who call on his name today. Also today, we deliberately celebrate. We choose celebration rather than despair, to hope rather than to lose heart, to tell stories of God's goodness rather than repeat the refrain of helplessness. Worship is really about celebrating God's presence and God's work, even when and especially when it is hard to see where God is present or what God is up to. So today, Pastor Laura, along with the worship team and I, will guide you through a time of celebration. We'll tell some stories and remind you of our hope in Christ. I hope you will leave worship today ready to be agents of God's good news, encouragers, and carriers of hope. We light the Christ candle here and in our homes to remind us of the light that shines in the darkness, that no darkness could ever overcome. And we will share later in Holy Communion, in our time together, as a celebration of God's decision to save us, to heal us, and to unite us as brothers and sisters around the world. So now, would you prepare your hearts? Settle your spirits from whatever you've encountered in the week past. Take a deep breath and begin to look forward for what God is doing in this moment. Would you become aware of God's presence wherever you are? And would you join me and Christians around the world in celebrating our wonderful, merciful Savior as we join in this call to worship on the screen. I'll lead us and you'll respond in the words that are underlined. To gather joyfully is indeed a serious affair, for celebration and all enjoyments gratefully taken are at their heart an act of war. In choosing celebration, we declare that evil and death, suffering and loss, sorrow and tears will not have the last word. But the joy of communion, the comfort of friends, the telling of good news, the giving of encouragement, the celebration of blessing, these are the true evidence of things eternal. They are the first fruits of that great joy that is to come and that will be unending. May our time together bear witness against the prince of darkness that would blind this world to hope. May our time together fall like a great hammer blow against that brittle night, shattering the gloom, reawakening our hearts, stirring our imagination, and focusing our vision on the kingdom of heaven that is to come, on the kingdom of heaven that is already among us, for the resurrection of all good things has already begun. Now, you who are loved by the Father, prepare your hearts and give yourselves wholly to this celebration of joy, to the glad company of saints, to the comforting fellowship of the Spirit, and to the abiding presence of Christ, who is seated among us both as our host and as our honored guest, and still yet as our conquering King. Amen.
Good morning, Broadway Church family. We are so glad to be here this morning with you, worshiping together. We're going to sing about some marvelous, wonderful love. So let's sing together, "I Stand Amazed."
How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I stand up.
love for us. And so in this time of uncertainty and not knowing where we're going to be and what's going to be happening, how important is it that we keep our eyes always, always, always on Jesus, that we look to him to be our teacher and our provider and our protector, to give us wisdom and courage and compassion in each and every moment and circumstance in our lives. We pray that he will be our vision.
We see that he has won the victory. He has come to set us free. He has come to redeem us and restore us. He has come to bring us life. And in the middle of whatever circumstance that we have, there's always the temptation to lift up the circumstance and to kind of look in and hone on it and think of, like, how are we going to fix this by, like, really looking at the circumstance. But you know what? There is power when we choose to worship and praise in the middle of that circumstance, when we choose to use the voice that we have as a powerful cry into the darkness to say, no, God loves us, God is for us, God is with us. We can trust him. He came to cast out all fear. So we look to him and we raise our hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise a hallelujah. I'll sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
We're gonna keep on singing.
I'm gonna sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Sing a little louder.
Oh, heaven comes to fight for me. Jesus, we do. We stand in the middle of this place, God, knowing that you are with us. And God, we're so thankful for the times when we forget, but you show up in something as powerful as a sunset or as a friend who reaches out and calls us or in the food that we eat every day. God, you remind us over and over and again that you are with us, that you are for us. You will never stop being for us. So we pray that you would open up our eyes to see where you have been faithful, where you will be faithful. We'll give you all the glory and praise. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ.
And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear to the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ.
And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without
Hi, Broadway family. Pastor Laura here. I'm coming to you today from Broadway's Greenwood campus, where I am so excited to get to worship in person with at least some of my church family next week. It's been since March the 8th since we've gathered inside the walls of our church to worship in person. However, on September 25th, we came together in person for the first time since then at Bowling Green Ballpark. It was a special night. A night in which we celebrated this special connection that we share, and a night in which we remembered who we are. We are Broadway, a community of people committed to loving God by living out our mission of invite, grow, and serve. Here's a quick look at how we lived into that shared mission on that evening as we celebrated at the ballpark, as we welcomed new members, as we baptized brothers and sisters in Christ, as we gave kids Bibles and had so much fun. Let's watch together.
And promise to strive with God for the healing of our world. If so, say I do. We baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
who holds the key. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
It has been said that the best critique of the bad is the practice of the good. This gives me a way of thinking about how to respond to the anxiety and frustration of our time. It doesn't do a lot of good to add more anxiety on top of anxiety or angst on top of angst. We can't fight violence with violence. The world isn't less crazy when I let it make me crazy. No, the best critique of the bad is God helping us practice the good. This principle is perfectly captured in the first part of the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. To our time, we might add, where there is discouragement, encouragement. This next segment is a reminder to all of us to be people who practice encouragement. And our reminder comes from what is actually a very likely source, from a 7-year-old child. In fact, our young people here at Broadway are a constant source of encouragement for me. Through this pandemic, they have danced in front of television screens in worship. They have participated in virtual vacation Bible school. Our youth have served our local community as part of Samaritan Summer. And our sixth graders have joined the youth group through Discovery Weekend. I have watched young leaders demonstrate courage and wisdom in a very challenging time. In fact, I am so proud of all of our young people who are being resilient and joyful and doing hard things. You are an encouragement to all of us. You're about to watch an interview with just one of these amazing young people. This last week, I sat down with Bryce Hum and his mom, Paula, to talk about Bryce's YouTube channel, which is named Be Nice Bryce. Be Nice Bryce features videos of Bryce teaching about kindness and empathy, sometimes with puppets or with his pets around the house, asking all of us to encourage one another. Let's be honest. Sometimes we adults forget this simple call of Christ to be encouragers. And so, let's hear this in Bryce's own words, listening for God to speak through the mouths of babes. And then, let's all take his charge to fight discouragement as people of encouragement. Everybody, hi. I am here with Bryce Hum, who is... Bryce, tell us how old you are.
7 years old.
A 7-year-old, a member of Broadway, part of our Kids Zone, and
I want to say, Bryce, a future YouTube star. Do you think that's fair? All right. So yeah, let's talk about that, Bryce. You have created your own YouTube channel, haven't you? Why did you decide to do that?
Because I wanted to show people ways to be nice.
That's a pretty good idea. Tell me, what's the name of that channel?
Be Nice Bryce.
Be Nice Bryce. So how did you choose that name?
I wanted to show people ways to be nice, and it rhymes with Bryce.
So that worked out pretty well, didn't it? Yes. So what is the message that you want people to hear through your channel?
It's free to be nice to people, because some people aren't nice and they'll feel good.
It's free to be nice to people. Do you have anything prepared to share with us about?
Yes, sir.
About that? You do? Okay. All right. What do you have?
This paper right here.
Okay. What is that? Is that a scripture?
Yes.
Well, go ahead. Take it away, Bryce. Why don't you read that for us?
And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgive one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4:32.
So you tell me, what's it like to have a kid like Bryce?
I tell people every day, I don't know what I did to deserve him. He teaches me. I don't really teach him. And just today, three different times today, just for no reason, he has looked at me and said, "You're a really good mom." And I don't know. I don't know what I've done to deserve that. He's just an amazing, special child.
It seems to me like that message of just sort of a basic message of it being an encouraging person is something we all could hear right now and just be reminded of, don't you think?
He's incredibly encouraging to his classmates. He's always worried if, you know, his classmates know how to do their homework, if they're caught up in school, if they need help. And he's always thinking about gifts to take to his friends at school and things that he makes personally. And like he said earlier, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. And he lives that. He really does. He's made something special for his teacher tomorrow out of a coat hanger. He just made it this weekend for her out of a coat hanger. So he's just, I'm very, very proud of him. I'm proud of his decision-making at this age. I'm proud of his compassion. I'm proud of him for being involved in church and wanting his friends to be involved in church. He's probably the adult here. I told him, he has an opportunity to be a leader. And he has the opportunity to show kids it's cool to be nice and it's cool to do this kind of stuff, you know, and a lot of times you just have to approach that with kids that way, that it's cool to do this, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
And he's, you know, so far he's fine. He's fine being a leader. He wants that. So I'm proud of him. I'm proud of him for taking a stand and doing what he does.
But Bryce, I think your message of encouragement and empathy and compassion for others is really, really important. And I think that does make you a leader. And I really appreciate you taking the lead to help us be encouraging to one another.
Doesn't cost anything to be nice.
Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. Perhaps you learned this cute, catchy saying when you were growing up like I did. However, over the past 6 months, I believe that it's become abundantly clear that this, the building, is not the church. Rather, the people are. The people connected and called by God to extend his love, light, and life to the world. In the midst of this pandemic, as we have faced challenges, it would have been very, very easy for us to forget our connection and to neglect our calling. But you, the people of Broadway, you have dared all the more to extend love and light and life. This morning, we celebrate the many and creative ways that you have continued to be the church in the midst of difficult times.
But daring all the more is looking at our circumstances, seeing it for what it is, seeing things for how they are, recognizing the challenge, and nevertheless, pressing forward. In fact, not letting up on the gas when it may seem like we ought to hit the brakes. Pressing forward with even more passion. Recognizing that when there is good reason not to have faith, that's precisely when we need to have it. Now, that doesn't mean that we sort of are finding a way through faith to gain control of our circumstances, to demand a certain outcome in a way that kind of controls God. What we're talking about is not getting things back under control, but actually giving up control. Learning to live in that risky place, to actually learn to love that risky place where we have to rely on God, where we must learn to walk by faith and not by sight. Later, Paul will flesh out what it means to dare all the more. He says, "Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, I press on to take that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." For the last year and a half, I've been reflecting on what it would mean for each one of us to live with that kind of faith, to look at the obstacles and recognize that God is going to work not despite them, but through them. I've also been reflecting on how when things are easy, we tend to also not have that kind of dare all the more faith, right? How we gravitate toward comfortable, and that when things get tense, a lot of what happens in the church is that we try to get the system back to homeostasis. Like when things get challenging, we get anxious and then we want to just tamp it back down. And so sometimes our motivation is out of anxiety rather than bold, daring faith. What it means to be a church that has plenty of good reason just to be happy with where it is, to not take risks. To the further along we go and the more successful, quote unquote, we become, to be content with where things are. But here's what I also have come to believe, that sort of comfortability is the kryptonite of the gospel, is the opposite of faith, and is the beginning of the death of a church. Why do we need to have dare all the more faith? In part because there will always be good reasons to settle for something else. There will always be a list of reasons why the obstacles are too great. Why do we need to dare all the more? Often it's precisely when we have good reason not to risk that we need to risk the most. There is a Navy SEAL saying, when we reach the end of our ability and strength, we've actually only used up 40% of our ability and strength, meaning our perception and our reality are different, right? When we think we're kind of done, and when we start to begin to think, I'm going to quit, or I'm going to shut this down, or we're going to have to back off, it's too much, that's actually not even close to our full potential. We've all been a place where we were ready to quit. And when we have been stretched further than we thought we could go, God began to move. Imagine with me a church that lived in that space. And now, as we prepare for Holy Communion, would you imagine with me those who have gathered around the world to do this very same thing? How this one act unites us in one Lord, one Savior, one baptism, and one hope. As we share the one loaf and the one cup, we are united with Christians around the world and united in our answer to the call of Christ in response to God's great love for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And so with your people all over the earth and the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Each time you do this, do so in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering to us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let's pray together. God, would you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup? May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the whole world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Let's share in communion together.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope and no place to begin, your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt. Displayed on a criminal's cross,
darkness rejoices though heaven is lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in.
As we go today, we have a few more things to celebrate. First, starting next Sunday, you will have two different ways to come home to your church family each week. You can come right back here to bmconline.org for online worship at 10 a.m. Or, starting next Sunday, we will be having our in-person services at all of our normal worship times. If you're planning to worship online, you can expect the same high-quality, participatory, hour-long service that we have been offering each week. If you're planning to come in person, you might have some questions. You might be wondering, what should I expect? What's it going to look like? And so let me walk you through that today. First, you are going to need to register to attend beforehand. On Mondays each week, a link will be sent out that will allow you to register for worship. Or you can call our church office. As you arrive on Sunday, we ask that you please wear your mask and social distance the entire time you're on campus in order to love our neighbors well and create an environment that is safe as possible. Next, as you arrive to the sanctuary, a volunteer will greet you and check you in off the registration list. Following that, you will get your temperature checked as you enter the door. If your temperature is below 100.5, then an usher will escort you to your seat. If you have students who are planning to attend Rhythm at the Melrose campus, they will go through all these same steps with you, except they will go down the center aisle of the sanctuary where a youth volunteer will greet them to direct them to the Cup of Hope. Once you're seated, the service will be 30 minutes in length, and it will be centered around three things: a song that the worship leaders will sing, a sermon, and a prayer. When the service is over, you will be dismissed from the front to the back of the room and will exit out the doors at the front of the sanctuary at both campuses. Students will be dismissed out the exterior door by the Cup of Hope, so we ask youth parents to please park on that side of the Melrose Campus Sanctuary. Of course, if you are feeling sick, if you have recently traveled out of state, if you've recently been exposed to someone who's tested positive for COVID, or if you're an individual that has been identified as being high risk for severe illness according to the CDC, we ask that you please choose to worship online safely from home. We cannot wait to see you both in person and online for worship next week. One final thing to celebrate before we go today. We want to take a moment to celebrate the way that your giving is having an impact both near and far. Each month, we have a dollar difference, which is given to an organization or a ministry to have a larger impact for them. Last month, the dollar difference supported the ministry of Justin and Ashley Guest, who are serving as missionaries in Honduras. Right now, they're meeting the very practical and real needs of people who have been hit hard by this pandemic. We took up a special offering for them at the celebration at the ballpark, and on that night alone, you gave $3,151. When we add that up with all the gifts that you made to the dollar difference throughout the month of September, along with $3,000 we were able to send them in advance in August, you, the people of Broadway, have given $8,676 in support of their ministry this fall. Thank you so much for your partnership in ministry with Justin and Ashley as they extend the love and the hope of Jesus. Your giving is always so extravagant, and it is making a difference in our world. If you would like to give today, you can do it in several different ways. You can do it through the online worship platform. You can do it through the Broadway app. You can visit our website, broadwayunited.org/give, or you can always mail your gift to the church. Thank you in advance for your generosity. Would you join me now in the benediction on the screen? Grant, O Lord, that what has been said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace.